And now to the Wisconsin Blue Book, first published in 1853, about 5 years after statehood, originally a manual for lawmakers. And the nonpartisan agency, the State Legislative Reference Bureau, publishes the Blue Book on a biennial basis. You can join in on questions about it, how it comes in handy for you, the process of creating it, 800-642-1234. Jillian Slate is a managing legislative analyst with the Legislative Reference Bureau. Jillian, welcome back to the Ideas Network.
Thanks for having me, Kate.
Well, let's hear a more fuller description from you about what the Blue Book is.
So the Blue Book is a general reference book on the state of Wisconsin. It's published every 2 years, and it's especially useful as a tool for understanding Wisconsin state government, both how it works and what's happening right now. So, for example, if you're a concerned voter and you'd like to know more about who's representing you and what kind of policies are being enacted in the legislature, you can consult the Blue Book for bios of your state representative and state senator, as well as readable summaries of legislation enacted during the previous session of the legislature. Or if you're a middle school or high school student and you have to do a report on the mechanics of Wisconsin state government, there are explainers on how a bill becomes a law, how elections work in Wisconsin and who is eligible to vote, as well as summaries of all the different executive departments that make up government and what they do. Or if you're just a general researcher or a journalist, there's a wealth of statistical and historical information at the back of the Blue Book.
Yes.
That can serve as valuable context for understanding what's going on in state government. And I know that
don't give away all our secrets.
Okay. Yeah, I know recently, you know, Governor Tony Evers just took action on a bunch of bills and vetoed a bunch. And one of the tables in the back of the Blue Book came in handy because journalists could go back and see, you know, how did he stack up in terms of the number of vetoes compared to past governors? So there's information like that that can provide context for, you know, precedents of events taking place in politics and government. But there's also demographic information about the population of every Wisconsin city and town. There's information about how people voted in recent elections, both for the Assembly and the Senate, but also gubernatorial and presidential races. So there's a wealth of information at the back of the Blue Book there, and that's updated every 2 years by the LRB, or Legislative Reference Bureau, who, if you're not familiar with us, we are a nonpartisan state agency that drafts all of the bills introduced in the legislature and also provides confidential nonpartisan research services.
Do you know why the Blue Book is blue?
Well, actually, technically, it's blue because under state law, it must be blue.
The spine must be blue. Is that right? Or the
whole
thing?
Must be blue.
Okay, spine.
Just the spine. We did get in a little bit of hot water a couple of years ago for going a bit more gray on the cover. The reason why it's blue, I suspect, has something to do with the book it evolved from, which was the legislative manual you mentioned in your intro.
Mm-hmm.
It was a little pocket-sized volume. You can sort of think of it as the equivalent of the smartphone for 1850s legislators. They would keep it in their coat pocket and pull it out to consult it for information, maybe during a committee meeting or a floor session about the rules of the legislature, maybe the Wisconsin Constitution, information about who was in the clerk's office or who were their fellow legislators. And based on some research I've done on the history of the Blue Book, it sounds like it was informally called the Blue Book for maybe 20 years before it first became named the Blue Book in 1879, because this little manual was bound in blue cloth. And so with the official name change in 1879, that name was made formal.
Mm-hmm. Yes. So you mentioned the 1850s, and there's this one description in the current one that the 1850s was chaotic about voting. And, you know, it kind of says that you could vote at a store, in a saloon, in a barn, a courthouse, hotel, factory, yes. stable, saloon, even the house of a prominent resident, which I wonder how that informs our debate around ballot drop boxes today, you know, as we look at just how it was to vote in the 1850s.
You know, it's really funny because what you're referring to is the 2021 Blue Books feature article, which is about this really fascinating incident in Wisconsin history when two men who were running for governor in the 1855 election both claimed to have won, mm-hmm. and neither backed down. And interestingly enough, my colleague Stacey Duros started doing research into that episode maybe in 2018, and we were really excited about sharing and developing her research with the general readership of the Blue Book, and we completed the article maybe in October 2020, so we had no idea that there would be this resonance with the idea of contested elections and contested election practices.
Yes.
But it really highlights the extent to which in the new state, the voting practices were really kind of ad hoc. And that applied to not only where you voted, you know, in stables and saloons and the houses of prominent residents, but also how the votes were transported to Madison, which was not very secure and certainly open to tampering, which is what actually turned out to have happened in this instance. The Board of Canvassers received the results, and they didn't like the results, so they conveniently amended them before they had to submit their final decision on who had won the election.
Mm, wow, that history certainly insights as we live today. Don now in Sussex would like to bring up the history. Don, go ahead.
Hi, I have a couple of questions here. I've been debating this for years. I have friends who have farms that are trying to keep them going and alive, and my heart is with the history of Wisconsin, and it's scary how many farms we're losing, I would say, per week now, watching these subdivisions going up. And I'm glad I never knew this book existed. My question is, who can I contact in the governor if I get a group of people together? And let's say if a farmer doesn't have the money to put a roof on his barn, but if we can get a governor to help us do that, you know, either get money to the farmer or get money to these metal roofers for, you know, savings.
And so perhaps maybe looking more also in terms of this Blue Book on how do you connect with lawmakers on specific topics like preserving barns and roofs and the history of farming?
Well, first I'd say that if you're not aware of who your state representative or state senator is, I want to point listeners to the legislature website, which is at legis.wisconsin.gov. And it has a handy feature that you can plug your address into it and learn who your state representatives are. I found in working with legislative offices that often the best way to try to get help around a situation like the one you're describing is to contact your legislator and try to figure out what options are available. Often legislators will come to us for research about what kind of solutions could be explored. Mm-hmm. So in that circumstance, I would definitely say to get in touch with your state legislators.
Don, thanks. We have the Legislative Reference Bureau's Managing Legislative Analyst, Jillian Slate, here taking us through the Wisconsin Blue Book and what this biennial reference publication means for state government, for political history, for our civics classes. Your attachment to the Blue Book and what you wondered about it, still time, 800-642-1234. Back in a minute with Jillian Slate here on the Ideas Network. We'll be right back. It's the morning show. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. We're talking about the Wisconsin Blue Book, the biennial almanac of Wisconsin government. The next edition is in production. There was commotion when the 2017-2018 edition came out, as the book had a gray cover with the spine staying blue. That's a mandate in state law. Still time to bring up the Blue Book, 800-642-1234. Jillian Slate of the LRB, the Legislative Reference Bureau, which is behind this reference book, stays with us. So, Jillian, the Blue Book editions, they contain maps of each lawmaker's district. And as we know, redistricting has been tied up in the state Supreme Court. How does that have delays in you know, being able to put the details of the maps into the drafting of the Blue Book?
Well, it all depends on whether those maps change again, which is anyone's guess. But the truth is that everything is always changing with the Blue Book, so the issue of maps constantly changing is not something new to us. Every biennium, there are special elections called right before the Blue Book has to go to print. There are people who are appointed to executive boards last minute. Legislators' committee assignments are changed. So we're pretty accustomed to changing content at the last minute before it goes to the printer. But also, now that we have the option of posting the Blue Book online, we can also revise it online. So just as a reminder to listeners, while the physical Blue Book is a great resource, you can also access all of the content on the LRB website, which is at legis.wisconsin.gov/LRB. Mm-hmm. And if perchance the maps change after we go into print, those changes will be reflected on our website. So that will always have up-to-date information. And also, we encourage people to contact the LRB directly, because we're able to generate and provide analysis of maps as they change.
Why continue to print physical copies of this book?
That's an interesting question. And to be honest, we talk about it, at least for the past few Blue Book seasons that I've been around. One of the issues I've worked on as an analyst is broadband availability. And there's still a broad swath of the state that doesn't have access to some of the online resources that we use to compile the Blue Book, or people don't have the expertise to know where to find that information. So we think of it as a way to compile and make convenient a lot of information that's available, you know, in disparate corners of the web and things that we compile from different state and federal agencies. It's something we put together and is accessible to Wisconsinites in one place. Mm. In addition to, you know, people who don't necessarily have internet access, I know it's a handy reference for incarcerated populations who can access all of this current information if they don't have, you know, independent access to the internet.
Jillian Slate with us, managing legislative analyst with the State Legislative Reference Bureau, as we explore the Wisconsin Blue Book, how it comes together, this reference book on all things state government. Still taking your questions, 800-642-1234. So this edition you're working on, you are featuring a chapter on basically talking with Capital News Media correspondents. Is that what that's about?
Correct. Yeah. So in the past, the feature article at the center of each Blue Book has explored something unique about Wisconsin history or society, and it often represents the culmination of some work that someone has been doing at the agency and wants to share with the readership of the Blue Book. This year, well, for 2023, I'm already into the next year, we're looking forward to sort of use the feature article to introduce this larger research project we're doing about the political press in Wisconsin and how it's changed over time. Hmm. And it kind of grew out of the fact that I'm so reliant, and I don't think this is just true of political insiders. It's true if you're a casual observer of government or politics, but we're so reliant on the press to understand what's going on in our state governments. And I've always been curious to know what it's like to cover state politics and government and how that's changed over the past 10, 20, 50 years. So how social media has changed that, how different media models and changes in newspaper circulation have changed what it means to cover the Capitol, how the pandemic has changed the job of covering politics. And we're hoping to address some of those questions with these oral history interviews with current and past members of the press corps, and then share those findings with people in the 2023 Blue Book.
So leaning more on oral histories than on digging through archives, it sounds like.
Well, I've done some archival research so far, but the tricky thing about studying the press is that often research for the Blue Book involves poring over old newspapers, but the press don't write about themselves. They're very modest. Although there are some archival collections at the Wisconsin Historical Society that are papers and letters left by people who were Capitol correspondents, it's a lot less common than archival collections of people who served in government. So it makes it kind of a trickier task to tell the story of the Capitol Press Corps.
Quickly, as we're out of time, do other states have blue books, or are we unique?
Well, I think Wisconsin, other states do have similar reference books, but I think ours is more robust and really testifies to the fact that we have this robust support structure for the legislature that provides research and information both to legislators and the public. And the Blue Book is sort of a manifestation of that.
Jillian, thank you for joining us.
Well, thank you.
Jillian Slate is a managing legislative analyst at the State Legislative Reference Bureau. We have a link to the Blue Book that is online at WPR.org/mornings. And just ahead, we explore the history of Wisconsin's first Black-owned brewery. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. It's The Morning Show, and you're listening to the Ideas Network.